Begin the current daf in Masechta Baba Kama daf Mem Zayin. Begin 8 lines down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to discuss from the previous daf, explaining the halacha of our Mishnah. We open up this parak Shosh Nogach Sapara, regarding the following case: when an ox gores a cow, and then we come to assess the damage, and we find on the side of the cow that was gored, we find a dead fetus. Now, it's not clear if the fetus was miscarried before the goring, and then the owner of the show is exempt, or if it actually was killed and was miscarried because of the goring, and therefore then the owner of the show would be chay for the chatzei nezik of the damages of the death of the fetus. Because of that suffix, halacha of our mishnah is, as we explained the previous daf from Simchas, is mamna mutl b'suffik is chalkin, so we split it. Instead of paying for half the damages, the owner of the ox only has to pay for the quarter of the damages. So ultimately, he has to pay chatzei nezik for the cow, and a quarter of the damages for the fetus. On that halacha, the Gemara continues and says, V'amar Rava. Rava says, regarding that case, and it's related to the previous halacha on the top of this amud from Rava 2, regarding a similar concept of the relationship between the fetus and the mother cow. He says as follows, Ein shaman lepara b'fnei atzma u'levlad b'fnei atzma. When we come to evaluate the amount of damage that was done, we're going to say the owner of the ox has to pay up for both the chatzei nezik of the cow and the quarter nezik of the vlad. We don't evaluate that damage, meaning what's called a before and after, to evaluate how much the amount of damage was for each one individually. Ella shaman levlad agav para. We evaluate the damage done to the fetus through the medium of the mother cow, meaning we view the mother cow, how much it was worth as a pregnant, full, healthy cow, and now as a damaged cow with the loss of its fetus. Again, you don't have to pay for all that damage of the fetus, just a quarter of that, but we view it in the larger picture of one damage done to the mother pregnant cow. As Rava says, she'im iato imikin, because if you don't say that, rather you evaluate each one individually, nimsa ata makish es hamazik, comes at you creating an extra large loss for the damager, where the amount of damage is going to be much more. Because rather what we do, as we said, that you evaluate the pregnant cow, how much it was worth before, how much it's worth now, whether it's alive or dead, and that's how you evaluate it regards to the cow per se, not regards to the cow separate and the fetus separately, which the Gemara later is going to ask, what do you mean? But if the law is that they're considered individual entities, then let the mazik lose. What's the difference? Why are we considering his loss when it's something that's rightfully a loss that's supposed to be for us? But continues Rava v'chinat demaitze, you find the same parallel in halacha, b'ketei yad avdei shechaver, by somebody that chops off the hand of his friend's slave, where you don't evaluate the hand in its own right as if to say, oh, how much would a person be willing to take that to have his slave's hand be cut off? Because obviously, if someone has a complete healthy slave, he wouldn't want his slave's hand to be cut off. Rather, he'd say, if you give me $1 million, fine. If not, why would I want to lose my slave? Rather, you don't do that. You evaluate this slave, how much is he worth now, and how much was he worth before? In other words, in the larger picture of a slave, to take the hand off, if you isolate that variable, of course no one's going to want that. It's going to be much more money. And v'chinat ha'maitzeh, you find the same parallel, b'mazik sadeh shel chaver, if someone damages someone else's field, let's say he cuts off the saplings or he eats one of the rows of the field, so we don't evaluate that row itself because that row is worth a lot of money. Rather, we evaluate it based on the larger context of the field. How much was this whole field, if let's say we sold it, worth before? And how much did it lose value because of this one row missing? It doesn't lose so much. Someone's buying a whole field for one row, he's not going to consider it. But in, let's say in retail, in the one row of each fruit, it would be considered a higher significant price. So regards to mazik, that we view it in the larger context. And the same halacha says Rava applies over here regarding the damages done to the fetus. We don't evaluate the fetus itself individually, but rather part of the larger picture of the pregnant cow. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amalei Ravacha Barei de Rava L'Ravashi, what do you mean? V'idinahu, but if that's the law, well then likchish mazik. What do you mean? Let the mazik lose out. In other words, as Taisa explains, the questioner assumes that since the cow and the fetus are two separate bodies, so then it should be evaluated, the fetus, on its own. In other words, it's not similar to the other cases that Rava brought, let's say when someone chops off his friend's slave's hand, where yes, the whole slave is one body, so too by a field, which it's all owned by this one damaged party, so it's like one entity. So therefore, there it makes sense that you would value it in the larger context. But the questioner is saying, but if that's the halacha, meaning here by the case of the pregnant cow, where it definitely would seem logical that since they're two different bodies, that then the mazik should lose. So why here is it going to be considered just in the larger context? And that is what the Gemara answers, that no, actually here it also is considered like one entity, Mishum de Amarle, because the mazik could tell to the nizik, Parama barta aziktach, I damaged, if it is, which we said the whole thing is a suffix regarding the Vlad, but even if let's say it was done, I damaged your pregnant cow. So parma barta shayem nilach, so we're going to evaluate the damage of how much was done to a pregnant cow. We're not going to evaluate the cow and its damages and the fetus and its damages, because then it would be more, I damage one entity, and that's where it's related to the previous halacha of Rava, that we view the fetus as one entity together with the value of the mother cow. Now, another related halacha says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious. Par dechad uvlad dechad. If let's say you have a cow that's owned by one person, and the fetus is owned by a different person, as we had a similar case that was explained for the halacha of Amishnah by Abaya, where they're owned by two different people, where someone sold the cow besides he held on to the rights of the fetus. So then pitma, this that the animal was fattened, which it was a higher price before it got damaged because of the fat that it was, that definitely, says the Gemara, is labal para. That goes to the owner of the cow, and the reason is because the mother cow does not get fatter because of the fetus itself. So the fetus did not contribute to the fattening of the cow. That's the mother cow who gets fatter, who it eats more when it's pregnant. So that's for sure going to go, now that that was lost, for the mazik to pay up to the baal hapara. But says the Gemara, nafcha, this that when the mother cow is pregnant, where it was worth more, it was more beautiful, because it was inflated, it gets larger when it's pregnant, mai. What would the halacha be in that situation? Who would that get be paid? That would be paid to, because on some level the fetus contributes because of the pregnancy to the inflation, it expands the mother cow, not the fat itself, but the expansion now that it looks more, and that was lost now when it was damaged by the shar. Who gets that? So that's actually machleik. He says the Gemara Papam. He says labal par. That still goes to the owner of the par. Revacha bere davikam. He says chalkin, that gets split, because ultimately that nafcha, this that it gets blown up, is both contributed by the para and from the fetus. And the halacha zachalkin, says the Gemara, halacha is that it gets split between the owner of the para and the owner of the vlad of the para. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. We're going to continue on this theme of a shur that's mazik, but introducing and segueing into different halachas regarding rishus and shaloi rishus, entering someone else's domain with permission and without permission. So the Mishnah begins, hakader, a potter, someone that has pots, he brings in his pots into the courtyard of a homeowner without permission. He brings in his pots. And now the animal of the homeowner is walking in the field, and his pots stand, and he breaks those pots. So the homeowner is exempt because you had no permission to bring your pots onto my field. I'm not responsible. Now, and actually, if let's say the animal of the homeowner gets damaged because now he injures himself on this guy's pots, so the owner of the pots is liable because you weren't supposed to, you had no permission to bring your pots over here. Now it damaged my animals, you're going to be chayv. Now, but says the Mishnah, v'imhichnis b'shoz, but let's say the homeowner gave him permission. You don't have where to put your pots. Don't worry, you can bring it into my property. Then says the Mishnah, b'al chatzar chayv. Then the owner of the courtyard is going to be liable for the whatever happens to the, if it breaks these pots that the potter brought in, because he accepted responsibility when he gave him permission to bring his pots in. Similar type of a case. Hechnes pei reisim l'chatzah balabai shalei b'shus. Different. First case is talking about he brought his pots in. Now it's talking about he brought his produce into the courtyard of a homeowner without permission. V'achlin behem tesha balabai is, now the owner, the animal of the homeowner, ate up that produce. So potter, so the homeowner is exempt because you had no permission to bring your produce here. V'im huske behen, and actually if the animal of the homeowner gets injured because of this produce, then bala peres chayv. So the owner of the produce is liable because you injured my animal. You had no permission to bring your produce here. Now v'mhechnes b'shus. But if let's say he brought in with permission, the homeowner said you could bring in your produce, then bala chatzah chayv. Then the owner of the courtyard is going to be liable for the damage that was done to the peres of the bala peres. Now, so too, continue on to another case. First, it spoke about bringing in pots without permission. It's speaking about bringing in produce without permission. Now, if let's say someone brought in his ox to the courtyard of a homeowner without, as we continue to Amud Beis, without permission. Now the ox of the homeowner gored this guy's ox. Or the dog of the homeowner bit this ox that had no permission to come in. So Potter, the homeowner is exempt because you're upset that my animal bit your animal, you had no permission to come here. Now, Nagahu Sharish Balabais, let's say this ox that wasn't allowed to be here went and gored the ox of the homeowner, well then Chayiv is going to be liable because your animal, who was not even supposed to be here, injured my animal. Now, Nafal Bayra Behivish Memav, let's say this ox that had no permission to be here fell into one of the pits there in the courtyard and spoiled the water by falling in there. So Chayiv is liable for the damage that was done to the water of the homeowner. Now, moreover, if let's say the father or the son of the homeowner was inside that pit at the time when the ox fell in and killed them, Mishal Mesa Kaifer, so then the owner of the ox has to pay Kaifer, which is the atonement money for the value of the life that was lost because of the liability of his ox, which the Gemara is going to ask. Seemingly, we're talking about a case of a Shur Tam, and why would there be Kaifer when we know the liability of Kaifer is only by a Shur Amud if it already had done this and had a pattern of doing this a few times? Now, v'mechtes b'shus, again, as the previous cases, the Mishnah says, but if let's say that the person had permission to bring his ox into the field, then then the owner of the courtyard is going to be liable for the damage done to his ox because he had permission to bring in his ox. Now, Rabbi Omer, he says, b'kulon ein chayiv, he disagrees. He says, regarding all these cases, the Baal HaChatzer is not going to be liable just by giving permission for the potter or for the person with the produce or the ox to bring them in. He's not going to be liable for the damages. Until he explicitly accepts responsibility to watch the things that he gives permission to come in, then he's going to be liable. But I just give you permission to come in. I didn't accept responsibility. Whatever happens, happens. Enter at your own risk. That's how Rebbe holds. Now the Gemara asks the following question. The inference of the halacha of the Mishnah when it opens up regarding these cases sounds like it's the time of the shaloi b'shus. The reason why, if let's say the homeowner's animal got damaged, the reason why we said that the owner of the pots, let's say the first case, is going to be chayiv for the damage that was done to the, because let's say the animal tripped on one of the pots that he brought in. So he said that he's going to be chayiv for the damages of the homeowner's animal is because he had no permission to come in. Now the inference is habershus, but let's say he had permission to bring his pots in. Then loy mechayiv bal kederes beniski behemti the bal chatzer. But then there wouldn't be any liability for the owner of the pot in the damages of the animal of the courtyard, which tells us the loy emrinin kibuli kabul bal kederes nitirusa de behemti the bal chatzer, which tells us that although when it's birshus with permission, there is permission that was given, there was authorization for him to come up. They made up that he could bring in his pots. The fact that there's permission doesn't mean that the owner of the pots took responsibility to protect and to watch that nothing should happen to the animals of the homeowner's courtyard. It's just that there's permission, but that doesn't infer responsibility for the other one's damages. So says the Gemara, Mani. So who's that Tana of our Mishnah that the Mishnah opens up with? That's Rebbe. It's like Rebbe. The Amma that he says, as we see at the end of the Mishnah, that he says this same concept, that kol b'stama l'kibbala n'tirusa. Whenever there's reshus, okay, so we authorize that we are understanding that I could come into your courtyard and we could coexist, but that doesn't mean that the other party is taking responsibility for that person. That was the case at the end where Rebbe said that no, you could come into my property, no problem, but I'm not taking responsibility, not like the Rabbanan. So that seemingly is the same case as the Reisha, where, yeah, the Baal Kederis is going to be chayiv when he had no permission. But if he had permission, he's going to be exempt. Even though it was with Bershus, they authorized that he's going to be able to come in there, but that doesn't mean he's taking responsibility for the homeowner's own animals. Now, the reason for this inference is that the Gemara's assumption right now is that according to the Rabbanan, just like the Baal Chatzar, when he gives permission for the Baal Kederis to bring in his pots, he's actually accepting responsibility for the damages that will happen to the pot, because the Rabban hold that mistama, in general, when someone gives permission, he actually accepts responsibility for the other party that he's going to coexist with. So the inference would be that according to Rabbanan, in this case, when the Baal Kederos has reshus to come in, he's actually taking responsibility for the damages that would happen to the homeowner, where, again, as we say, mistama, when the homeowner gives him permission to come in, so the owner of the pots is accepting responsibility that he's going to watch that nothing happens, that his pot should not damage the Baal HaChatzar. So therefore, the inference from the halacha of our Mishnah and the Reisha is mashma, that it's like Rebbe, who says that you're not going to be chayiv, it's only because he had no permission that he's chayiv. And that says the Gemara, Eima Seifa. Let's see the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Im hichnis birshuz, if let's say he came in with permission, so he said, Baal Chatzar chayiv, if he had permission to come in, meaning if he didn't have permission, then the homeowner is exempt, if anything happens to his stuff. If he had permission, then the homeowner is going to be responsible for the liability that happens to his pots that he had permission to bring in. Says the Gemara, son Rabbanan de Amri. So that sounds like the Rabbanan, who they say, Bistama nami kibuli kabbala nitirusa, that they say, in general, even without explicitly taking responsibility, just giving that there's permission, that there's an understanding, that then the other party takes responsibility for the damages of the other party. Where we see that the Baal Chatzar is going to be chayiv for by having permission for him to come in to the damages that happened to him, even though he didn't say, I'm taking responsibility. Now, Vesu, moreover, let's look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi says, Bekulon ein chayiv. In all these cases, the Baal Chatzar is not going to be liable for the damages, even when he gave permission to the Baal Kader, to the Baal Shur, to the Baal Peres, Asher Kabel Lov Baal Abayis Lishma, until he takes explicit responsibility for the damages that happen to the ox or to the Peres or to the Kederes. Now, ask the Gemara, Reish B'Sefer Rebbe Mitzias Rabban, and it comes out, which generally is not like that the beginning of the Mishnah is like Rebbe. The Sefer, the end of the Mishnah is like Rebbe, which is that it's, even if you have Rishus, that doesn't connote responsibility for the other person's damages, whereas the middle of the Mishnah is like Rabban, that says, yes, just with Rishus, that is taking responsibility for the other person's. So Amr B'Zera, he says, Tavra, which literally means say it's broken, meaning, yes, it's definitely difficult, the Reisha and the Sefer of the Tanakhama. And therefore, you have to say, Misha Shanazu, Le Shanazu. Whoever taught the Reisha didn't teach the Sefer. In other words, it's actually Machlekes Tanoim according to the Rabbanan. The end of the Mishnah, meaning the Sefer, the middle, what we call the middle case, that Tana held that the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe, and that Mistama, you do accept Rishus, and Rebbe held that you don't. Whereas the Reisha, the Mishnah, that held that the Rabbanan do not disagree, and that they agree to Rebbe that Mistama, a person does not accept. Responsibility for what's going to happen to the other person's stuff. Now, Rav Amma, he says no. Kula Rabbani. Actually, it's all one opinion of the Rabbanan, both the Reisha and the Mitziyasa. Now, so what's the difference? We said that the beginning of the Mishnah sounds like Rebbe and the middle one sounds like Rabbanan. The difference is because Ubishus, when the homeowner gives permission for the potter or for the person with the produce or the ox to come inside his property, Shmiris Kedeiris Kibalalav Balachatza. That's because he's accepting responsibility to safeguard the pots. That's what the Balachatza is accepting upon himself. And moreover, as the Gemara even says, Vafila Nishbur Beruach, even if we break in the wind, because when he's saying you could come in, he's saying come in and I'll watch your stuff. That's why the Rabban Hold, which is what we call the Mitzias in middle case, says, not like Rabbi, that you're going that the owner of the Chatz is going to be responsible, but just give him permission. But that's not the same when the Baal Kederes had permission to come in. When he had permission to come in, he says, yeah, sure, come in. That doesn't insinuate that connotes that the Baal Kederes is going to take responsibility for the Baal Chatzar. When someone lets someone come in, he says, oh, I'm letting you come in, it means come in and I'll take responsibility. When someone has permission to come in, when he's bringing his stuff in, it's just that I'm going to be able to put my stuff in, but I'm not taking responsibility for you, the Baal Chatzar, for your stuff. And therefore, that's a fundamental difference in what permission, what authorization is. The one giving the authority taking responsibility. The one getting authority is not taking any responsibility, and that's why it's not difficult that both the Reisha and the Mitziyasa are like the Rabbanu. The Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, Hichnis peiresim l'chatza balabayis v'chulu. We said that if someone brings in his produce into the courtyard of the homeowner without permission, so then we said that if the animal of the homeowner gets damaged, then the owner of the peiris is going to be liable for the damages. Now, on that halacha, Amar Ravi qualifies as loy shanu, this that we learned in the Mishnah that said that if the animals of the homeowner gets damaged by these unauthorized peiris in the field, the owner of the peiris is going to be chayiv. We didn't learn that elisha hochlaka behen. Only if the animal that is allowed to be here slips on those unauthorized peiris, then the owner of the peiris is going to be chayiv. Aval achlo, but if let's say the animal of that estate eats more than it could have and should have, and because of that it dies, then says Rav Potter, the owner of the parish is going to be exempt for that damage. My time, what's the reason? The animal should not have eaten, whereas Tosafot explains the logic is that since actively the animal itself with its own intention damaged itself, it's not fit to create a liability for the owner of the peiros. In other words, if the animal's walking and it slips, so the causation of that is the bala peiros. But when the animal ate it, it's something it brought on its own self, that's not something you could hold liable, the bala peiros. Now, on this halach of Rav, the Gemara asks many different questions. Amrav Sheshes, he says, Amina, I say, Kinaim b'shachiv Rav amal hashmaita. When Rav was dozing off, he must have said this halacha. Because the Tanya, when the Braisa contradicts his halacha, the Braisa says, Hanisin sam hamavis lefnei behemes chaveira. If someone places a potion of death in front of his friend's animal, and the animal eats it and dies, says the Braisa, Potem edini adam, is exempt from the law of the land, of court, because he didn't, it's only a grum, it's only cause, he didn't actually kill the animal, he placed the stumbling block, but v'chai b'din nishamayim is going to be liable at the hands of heaven, because heaven knows he caused the death of his friend's animal. Says Rav Sheshes, sam ha'mavus hu d'lo yavid l'achla. The halacha of the Braisa is only by the case of poison, where it's not normal for an animal to eat. The inference is, but regarding produce, which is normal for an animal to eat, that's actually even in the courts that is going to be a liability for the one who put the poison there. Now, the question is, because he caused that damage, where he had no rishus to do that. Now the question is about mine, but why, says Rav Sheshes, you should have Rav's logic of that the animal shouldn't have eaten. The animal did it to itself. So that the Gemara says, Ami, they said, no. Hu adin afilu peiros nami. It's not a difficult on Rav. The halacha would apply even if it was regular produce that killed the animal, that patur medin adam, that there also the halacha would be that the owner, the one who put the poison, would be exempt from din adam. But the chiddush of the price is, then why does it pick san hamavis? Say even the bigger chiddush, you say that there can be exemption even by regular produce, like Rav said, because no, the chiddush is the other way. That fila sam hamavas nami, even by poison, to levida da'ach, where it's not normal for an animal to eat, chayi b'dinei shemayim, is coming to teach us that there's still going to be a liability at the hands of heaven, that there's still that the person did something wrong, even though it's poison, when an animal doesn't usually eat, still that's the chiddush. But regarding the b'dinei adam of being exempt, that would be by any food, as we said, because the animal brought on itself by eating. The liability is only when it slips and things like that. Or v'ibayisim, if you want to say a different approach to answer this question of Rav Sheshes on Rav, that actually samhamov is nami, even that case, when the Braisa was talking about regarding poison, it wasn't talking about just regular poison, it was ba'afrasta. It was talking about a type of a grass, which is normal for the animal to eat, which is poisonous for an animal, dahainu peiri, which is a case of produce, and still the Braisa is saying that there's going to be a potem within the other, which actually is exactly like the halach of Rav, because even though it's normal for an animal to eat, but it's the animal doing it to itself, that's going to be a potem medini adam, like Rav had said. But the Gemara continues asking on Rav, Meisvei, ask from the following Braisa. Ha'isha shenichnesa litchin chitim etzal balabai shalei b'shus. A woman went to grind her wheat by a homeowner without permission. She went to his property to grind her wheat. V'achaltan behem tisha balabayis, and when she went there, the animal of the homeowner ate up her wheat. So potter, the homeowner is exempt because you had no permission to come in. Now, imhuska, if actually the animal actually got injured because of her wheat, then chayeves, then the woman's going to be liable. Now, the question is, v'amai, why, neima hava lo shlei toichel, that she could say, your animal shouldn't have eaten. Your animal got injured because it was eating my wheat. That, according to Rav, why is she chayev? You said when someone's eating, then there's an exemption to the bala peiros. So, they said to answer that question, umi adifim mimasniten? Is this braisa any better that it's more difficult on Rav than our Mishnah? Exactly, Rav had qualified the halacha of the Mishnah. That's where his halacha was coming from. That the injury is only when that you're going to be liable is when the animal slips on it. That's exactly the case of the braisa. It didn't eat the wheat that the woman was grinding. It slipped on that wheat, and that's why the woman's going to be liable. Now, the Gemara actually says, the one who had asked the question, what were they asking? Seemingly, that's the same qualification that Rav had said in the Mishnah you would say in that braisa. So Amalach, that one who asked the question would tell you that no. Bishlim Masnit, we understand the halacha of Mishnah Ketani, we learned Imhuzka Behem. It says that if the animal got damage in them. Now, in them sounds like Shehuchleko Behenhu. That means to say, what do I mean in them? You eat one thing at a time because it slipped on them. That's where the balapair is going to be liable. Whereas the exemption would be if the animal ate. But here it says that if the animal gets damaged, it doesn't say in them. That sounds like achilahu, the ketani, sounds like that it's regarding eating, and that's why the questioner had asked, you see, even in the case of eating, that the woman's going to be chayiv. Whereas v'idachamalach, the other one would tell you, meaning those who defend Rav, would tell you that, no, loishna, it doesn't make any difference if it says behen or not. Huska, if it gets damaged, could sound like not just, meaning it would mean regarding slipping, and that's where the liability of the woman is, but actually regarding eating, the woman actually would be exempt, like Rav's halacha. The Gemara continues trying to bring a raya, not like Rav. Toshima, we learn the Braisa as follows. If someone brings his ox into the courtyard of a homeowner without permission, and then the animal ate wheat over there, the hisris, which Rashi says on food de balaz, which is a type of an illness that happens to animals, the animal gets sick because of the wheat that it ate in the property wasn't allowed to be there, umes, and dies. So part of the homeowner is exempt because who asked you to bring in your animal to eat my stuff and get sick and die? So he's exempt. But if let's say the owner of the ox brought it in with permission, he was allowed to bring his animal in over there, then then the owner of the courtyard is actually going to be liable for the death of the ox that came into his field. Now that asked the Gemara and Rav Amai, but why is that? The animal should not have eaten. We said that there's no liability for an animal's eating, where that's not my responsibility, where your animal shouldn't have eaten. That Amarave says, Bishus Ashaloi Bishus Karamis? You're asking a question from a Braisa, which is talking about a case when the homeowner said, you have permission to enter my domain? On the Halacha of Rav, which was talking about a case of when someone had no permission to bring in their produce into someone else's field? No, that's not a difficulty. Bishus, in the case of this Braisa, when he gave permission, you could bring in your ox. And then the ox came and ate something and died because of that. We said before, previously in the Gemara, saying you have permission is saying that he's accepting responsibility to watch over that ox. And actually there would be a liability for the Baal HaChatzar, even if the ox chokes itself, that would still be a liability of the homeowner, because he said, don't worry, bring him in and I'll watch it. That's the inference. And that's why, yes, there would be a liability. But that's because it's Bershus. But that doesn't mean that when you do something without permission, which you're not accepting liability, then, of course, if an animal then eats your produce, even if you weren't allowed to put it there, you're not going to be chai because you should not have had your animal eat. The animal shouldn't have eaten it. It brought it onto itself. It's not because of the fact that you caused that damage. The case over here in the Braisa that you're going to be liable is because you accepted any liability, not just for your payers. Even if the animal ate, even if it choked itself, still there would be a liability in the case of saying you have permission to come in, which is accepting responsibility fully to watch that animal. Now the Gemara says a related discussion to the halacha of our Mishnah, Ibailu, that the following question. So in the case where a homeowner accepts responsibility to watch what he said is allowed to come in, where, again, according to Rabbanan, that would be in any case that he says you're allowed to come in. And according to the Rebbe of our Mishnah, that it would mean to say where he said, bring in your ox and I will watch him. So either way, when he's accepting responsibility to watch, mahu, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains, the question is, did nafshehu dekibul aleho? Is it that he only accepts responsibility of his own stuff? Meaning, bring in your ox, bring in your pots, bring in whatever you want to bring in, and I accept responsibility. What does that mean to say that my ox will not gore your ox? My dog will not bite your ox? Maybe he's actually accepting responsibility from anything that happens to the animal, even of other animals, that if it's going to damage the ox, he's accepting responsibility. So is it his own stuff, or is it from anything that will damage the ox? Says the Gemara, Tashima, come in here, we'll bring a raya, the Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Siman. He taught, B'Nizakin de Be'Karna, the Braisa from the tractate of Nizakin of the Yeshiva of Karna, the following halacha. If someone brought in his produce into the courtyard of a homeowner without permission, now an ox came from somewhere else and ate up those produce, so potter, then he's exempt. But let's say he had permission to bring the produce into this guy's field, and an animal from somewhere else ate it, chayiv is going to be liable. So says the Gemara, man potter, man chayiv, who are we saying is exempt when he brought in without permission? And who he's saying is liable when he brought him with permission?
Lav, isn't it Patr Baal Chatzar V'chayiv Baal Chatzar? Meaning, the homeowner is exempt when you brought in your payers, you had no permission, I'm not liable for anything that happens to it. But he is liable when he brought in with Rishus, even though it was an ox from somewhere else that ate it. So you see that the Allah of accepting responsibility, which is what we said happens when he says, you could bring it in, I authorize it, means to say I'm accepting responsibility, is even if a shire from somewhere else came and damaged it. So Ami this said, Loi, no. It's not regarding the Baal Chatzar. Patr Baal Hashar V'chayev Baal Hashar. It's regarding the mazik, the owner of that ox that came from somewhere else and came and ate up that produce. He's going to be exempt when the one who brought in his produce had no permission to, but he's going to be liable for the damages of his ox when the Baal HaChatzar had given permission for that Baal HaPeiros to bring in his produce into that field. Which the Gemara asks, if it's referring to the owner of the ox, so then as we continue on top of Mechasim and Aleph, my b'shus and my shalei b'shus ikin, and what does that have to do with permission or not permission? What does that have to do with him? His ox went and ate up someone else's produce. Now who cares if that guy who brought his produce into someone else's field had permission, didn't have permission, why should that relate to the liability of the owner of the ox? So I mean, they said, no, it does. B'shus, since the Baal HaChatzar had given permission to the Baal HaPeiros to bring his produce into his field, essentially what that means to say is that he acquired the rights of that field to that person's produce. Have you lost? Halachically, what that's considered is shein b'shus ha-nizik. Now when someone else's ox comes and eats, which is the mazik of shein, which is the pleasure that the animal gets of eating up produce, is happening in the domain of the damaged party. Because he has the rights to put his produce there. It's like it's his field. And in such a case, then the owner of the shor is going to be liable because Shane is only liable in the domain of the damaged party, and it is the domain of the damaged party. Now Rashi addresses, although that we know from Daf Yedalim and Aleph, that what's called a chatzah hashutfin, a courtyard that's actually a partner's, there's an exemption of Shane Regal, and here essentially it's like partners because it's the Baal HaChatzar, and now it's the Baal HaPeiros who he has permission, who is like a partner there. That says Rashi, no, that's only when one partner damages the other partner. That's a chatzah shal shneim. That is going to be exemption. It's not considered the chatzah ubir b'stei achar. But when someone else's ox comes and damages one of the two partners, that is going to qualify for the halacha ubir b'stei achar. It's considered someone else's field in contrast to the owner of that ox. So that's if it's with rishus. Shaloi b'shus, but if the owner of the payers had no permission to bring his payers into this chatzar, havala shein b'shus harabim. That's essentially like shein in the public domain. In other words, not necessarily public domain, but it's not considered ubir b'ste'achar dinizik. It has to be the other field of the damaged party. It's not his field because he actually has no permission to put his payers over there. B'shein b'shus harabim patura. And the mazik of shein, which is what this is, when the ox is eating up the produce, in the public domain, meaning not in the private domain of the damaged party, because he has no permission to put in the Baal HaChatzar's field, that is going to be where Shane is going to be exempt, and that's where he's going to be exempt. Therefore, that doesn't resolve the question that we had regarding accepting responsibility. We thought that it was the Baal HaChatzar, which you would see that Bishus, he's accepting all responsibility, even with the Baal HaShar. We said, no, it's not talking about the Baal HaChatzar, it's talking about the Baal HaShar, and the Baal HaShar, it actually makes difference regarding his animal damaging that, eating that person's produce, if it was that he had permission to put it there, and therefore it's like his field, and therefore it's like Shein Bishus HaYachid, which is considered Bir B'Steach and Chayim, or if he had no permission, and therefore it's like essentially like, meaning like Rishus HaRab, meaning not his own Bir B'Steacher, and therefore then the halacha of the Shein, of the Mazik, of the Shar would be exempt, because it's like Shein B'Shus HaRabim.